In a world where we're increasingly disconnected from physical reality, Matthew Crawford's exploration of manual work arrives like a revelation. We've been sold a false narrative that success means escaping physical labor for the pristine world of ideas. But what if this narrative has robbed us of something essential? When shop class disappeared from schools in the 1990s, we lost more than just vocational training. We lost a fundamental way of engaging with reality. Today's students can answer standardized tests, but often can't fix a leaky faucet or change a tire. Our possessions have become mysterious black boxes, cars with engines hidden beneath secondary hoods, appliances requiring specialized tools to open, devices designed to be replaced rather than repaired. This transformation has profound consequences for how we understand ourselves and our capabilities. When we can no longer comprehend how our everyday objects function, we surrender a form of agency and independence that was once commonplace. Meanwhile, skilled trades face critical worker shortages, while some college graduates return to technical schools seeking marketable skills their university education never provided. Have you ever experienced the satisfaction of fixing something broken? That moment when you flip the switch and light appears represents genuine competence, a form of agency often missing in knowledge work. Despite stereotypes about manual labor being mindless, trades demand deep cognitive engagement. Motorcycle repair exemplifies this richness. Diagnosis requires building mental models of cause and effect, drawing on a library of sensory experiences. While manuals prescribe systematic troubleshooting, real-world complexities demand judgment and intuition beyond analytical reasoning. This practical engagement historically preceded scientific understanding. Technological developments often drove scientific advances, not vice versa. The steam engine, developed by mechanics observing volume, pressure, temperature relationships, preceded thermodynamic theory by decades. Working with your hands connects you to others and the future, like building a mahogany table while imagining a child who would someday know it was their father's work. Unlike hollow self-esteem that educators try to impart, a tradesperson's pride comes from reckoning with reality's infallible judgment. Which jobs will remain secure in our digital economy? Princeton economist Alan Blinder challenges the notion that education determines job security. The key distinction is between services deliverable electronically versus those requiring physical presence. You can't hammer a nail over the internet. Blinder identifies 30 to 40 million U.S. jobs as potentially offshoreable, affecting both high and low-skilled workers. MIT economist Frank Levy distinguishes between rules-based work, vulnerable to computerization, and work requiring judgment. When computerized diagnostics fail, a good mechanic must exercise creativity, not just problem-solving, but problem-finding. Real-world problems require determining what's relevant and what can be ignored. The mechanic's value lies in first-hand knowledge that cannot be reduced to rules. Each trade offers unique cognitive challenges that are often totally absorbing. This contradicts our educational system's assumption that manual work is merely a fallback for academic underachievers. In reality, trades may offer greater security and satisfaction than many white-collar jobs in the coming decades. The division between mental and manual work isn't natural, but deliberately engineered. In the 20th century, Frederick Winslow Taylor's scientific management extracted craft knowledge from workers, converted it to rules, then returned only minimal instructions to those performing fragmented tasks. This wasn't primarily about efficiency. It aimed to reduce costs by replacing skilled workers with cheaper, unskilled labor. Taylor himself admitted his system would be complete when machines were run by men of smaller caliber and attainments, who were therefore cheaper. Before assembly lines, automotive manufacturing relied on craftsmen with holistic understanding. When Henry Ford introduced his assembly line in 1913, workers initially rejected it. Ford had to hire 963 people just to add 100 to his workforce. His solution? Doubling wages, which he later called one of the finest cost-cutting moves we ever made. This allowed faster production and eliminated competitors. Workers eventually adapted once they no longer knew more satisfying work methods, while consumer debt further entrenched this system. Indebtedness effectively disciplined workers, keeping them at routinized jobs, graying but in harness, meeting payments regularly. We're told we're moving toward a post-industrial economy focused on creativity, yet white-collar professions are undergoing the same routinization that affected manual labor a century ago. The cognitive aspects of professional jobs are being systematized and delegated to clerks, while genuine knowledge work concentrates in an ever smaller elite. Richard Florida claims over 40 million Americans belong to a creative class of bizarre mavericks operating at the Bohemian fringe, oddly including Best Buy employees earning about $8 per hour, despite claims their creativity generates hundreds of millions in added revenue. Florida's vision contradicts Robert Jackall's more plausible corporate principle: push details down and pull credit up. The notion that creativity merely needs unleashing resembles kindergarten finger painting. True creativity emerges from mastery, developed through long practice and discipline, like a musician practicing scales or Einstein studying tensor algebra. When I was 15, I sought work at a Porsche repair shop in California. The proprietor tested me with building a desk organizer. After completing it meticulously, I was hired, only to be assigned washing dishes in his filthy apartment above the shop. I eventually graduated to cleaning grimy Porsche parts, discovering the unglamorous reality behind the mystique. Working on my VW Bug without guidance left me constantly thwarted by corroded parts and electrical problems. My physicist father offered scientific knowledge that rarely helped with my practical struggles, revealing how his mathematical mind focused on idealized abstractions rather than mechanical reality. Years later, I met Chaz, a machinist who taught me to match port intake manifolds to improve airflow. An engine builder's skills are largely forensic, requiring visual inspection and precise measurement to identify wear patterns that reveal root causes. Good mechanics practice metacognition, stepping back to examine their thinking about a problem. This cognitive capacity is rooted in moral capacity, requiring attentiveness to the possibility of being wrong. The mechanic, like the artist, must use imagination not to escape reality, but to join it, moving beyond dulled consciousness toward true apprehension of the real. True self-reliance means mastering your possessions, understanding their origins, operation, and maintenance, rather than sovereign individualism. Genuine agency emerges from engaging with reality, where ends are revealed through this engagement rather than arbitrarily chosen. A tradesperson's individuality develops through connection to shared standards, with excellence recognized by community. This sociable individuality contrasts with the self-enclosure of autonomy that denies our fundamental interdependence. As a motorcycle mechanic facing daily failures, I've developed a healthy pessimism, often lacking among society's decision makers. In our increasingly virtual world, reclaiming manual wisdom isn't nostalgic, but revolutionary. By engaging with physical reality through meaningful work, we recover something essential about being human. When tempted to replace rather than repair, consider what might be gained by getting your hands dirty. In struggling with stubborn materials, you discover not just how things work, but how you work, finding yourself transformed in the process.